Hey, what's going on? It's Pat Steinberg, and we are very excited to welcome you to a brand new show here on the Flames Talk podcast feed, and a brand new show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's called the Cumming and Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles, and it's brought to you by Cumming and Gillespie LLP, personal injury and medical practice lawyers committed to getting maximum compensation for the injured and their families. Visit CummingGillespie.com. So what the heck is this show? Well, here's the good news. The best news of it all is that you barely have to hear from me. No, I'm just taking you through the ins and the outs, because the meat of this show is going to be driven by Brent Cron, who you know and love from The Big Show and more, and 1989 Stanley Cup champion, fellow Flames alumni member, Colin Patterson. Croner and Patter are going to take you through some incredible sit-downs over the next number of weeks and months with members of the Flames alumni. This is guys who have played the game, talking about playing the game. It's unfiltered, it's long form, and it's just a bunch of guys kicking back and talking about their careers. I've been there for the tapings. We go to the Garrison Pub, and the guys just go sometimes for 2 and 3 hours, and then we bring you the best of it here on this program. So without further ado, let's get this thing going, because our first episode of the Cumming and Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles, and yes, we're spelling it Chronicles as in K-R-A-H-N for Brent Cron, is with Hockey Hall of Famer and two-time Stanley Cup champion Mike Vernon. What a better way to kick it off. He is one of the four players in Flames franchise history with his number retired. He won the Stanley Cup in 1989, and he is an absolute icon in this city. Born and raised in Calgary, won a Stanley Cup with the Flames, and now still here in the city. And let's kick it off. Brent Cron, Colin Patterson, and the one and only Mike Vernon, the man of the hour, and we kick off this part of the conversation going all the way back to the very beginning of Mike's pro career, the early 1980s, when Mike was a member of the Colorado Eagles in the minor leagues.
And what, living in a house of six people? I remember those.
There was only four, but there's a lot of people, a lot of people going in and out.
Yeah.
Getting called up, getting sent down, and things like that. But
yeah. So there's me, Vernie, Chopper, Al McInnes, and Neil Sheehy, Harv.
Harv, and he ran the house.
Yeah.
Harv who?
Harv versus Harv. Neil Sheehy.
His nickname was Harv.
Yeah, because he went to Harvard.
Oh. Yeah, he would tell you that. He was so smart, it was unreal. It was the middle of winter. We had a few days off, and everybody was going every which way for a break.
Yeah.
And he decided to turn the heat off. And I'm like, that's great, Harv. Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
And I leave. We all leave, and we come back after the road trip. There is 3 feet of snow outside. And like, it was, the windows had an inch of frost on it. It was just, we go in, it was so cold.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I'm going to go turn on all the hot water tanks. I'm like, really? Maybe you should light the pilot light first, or turn the furnace maybe on, because I think that's might be off. Yeah. And he's, oh, no, Vernie, I got this. I said,
yeah,
you're on the contract. So I says, yeah, go ahead. And I'm sitting there with a watching TV, and I got a couple comforters over me to stay warm. And I go, Harv, I think I hear your tub running upstairs. See, I told you, he runs upstairs. Holy shit. He goes in, water was going everywhere. And then it went from bam to the kitchen to the basement, and everything exploded. We all had to leave and go check into a hotel. And
team pay for that, or is that out of your own pocket?
Yeah, that was out of our own pocket. And then they came and they were getting it all out, all the water. Like, honest to God, it was just a disaster. So they came in and kind of fixed everything.
Yeah.
And then we were just going to move back in, and another pipe broke in the basement. There was 2 feet of water. And Jeff
Brubaker,
he was living in the basement. And he had cowboy boots. And there was 200 pairs of cowboy boots floated.
No.
He was so mad.
Yeah. Put him in the sun to dry?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. And then you're coming out, and they're pumping the water into the parking lot. And so we got a skating rink in the parking lot, for crying out loud. It was a disaster.
No, it wasn't on a game day, was it?
No. That was good. That was good. That was really good.
Oh, so
fun.
Yeah. You're, great times.
You're
remember the rookie party.
I wasn't there for the rookie party.
Oh my god.
So for the rookie party, like you guys all had to pay in, the rookies had to pay into it though too.
But oh, we had to pay.
Yeah. What did you have to pay in for your rookie party there?
Oh, well, it was who was it? Pat Ribble was our coach. Yep. Or captain.
Okay. Yeah.
He played without a helmet and everything, yeah, and he was the best.
He was great.
He'd go out all night, whatever. First thing in the morning, he's there at the dressing room, and he's got the clock, and you walk in, you're like 5 seconds late. Bingo, fine. Yeah. Fines are like $25, or yeah. It didn't matter. It's just the purpose. He had to get the pot up so we could have a party. So all the fines that went in went to our rookie party,
yeah.
And then the rookies had to top it up. And then we go to that day, we have a light skate. And then we have to meet at like 1 o'clock at this, on the university campus in Denver at a steakhouse.
Yeah.
So you get a T-bone, a baked potato.
For $9.99.
Yeah, for $9.99. It was a great deal. Yeah, yeah. That's the cheapest rookie meal I've ever had in my life.
That's awesome.
And then we proceeded to bar hop. And yeah, that was quite interesting. Yeah, I know I was quite loaded, and I had to take a bit of a break. We're at Confetti's, and I'm just like, I need to get some fresh air. And there's snow outside, and I go out, and I just plop myself into a snowbank, and I just lay in there, right? And all of a sudden, woo, paddy wagons, cops, everything starts wheeling in. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And half my teammates are getting thrown into the paddy wagon. And all I hear from Neil Sheehy, I went to Harvard. I'm a lawyer. You're going to hear from me and this and that. And it was nonstop.
I went to Harvard.
And I'm like, well,
you
I'm
can't
not,
arrest me.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit until they all leave and jump in a cab and go home.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Life is well in the CHL.
Yeah, CHL, what do we call it? The Country Club Hockey League.
Yeah. What was it? What was it? Central Hockey League? Is that
Central
what?
Hockey League, yeah. And so the Flames had their farm team down there in Colorado, right in Denver.
Yeah.
So when Colorado Rockies left, they had that rink, the McNichol
Arena, yeah.
And it was like a NHL arena.
Yeah.
So when they left, it left a bit of a void. So the Flames put their farm team down there.
Yeah.
And that's where we played out of. We only got like 3,000 people, but that's it was still
tough.
A great rank.
That's tough when you play in the American League or the minors. And well, you're playing in buildings like that. And there's 8 people cheering for you.
We flew everywhere, though.
Yeah.
We had to.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I mean, did you fly the day of the game or did you go on the night before?
Oh, night before. They were good with us.
They were pretty good. Yeah, they were pretty good.
Decent.
Yeah.
Regular flights, but that didn't matter.
Got the air miles?
My first 9 years in the NHL were regular flights, too, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
We got our air miles then. I still have them, I think.
that's so good. Hey, let's get into your junior career a little bit. You're a Calgary kid, or a kid, guy, right?
Boy.
did you foresee?
My ice cream store was right there.
Like you're pointing to, we're at the Garrison Pub here. Yeah. You're pointing
the 31 flavor there.
Yeah.
33, whatever it's called. Yeah. Ice cream. I lived just over there.
Yeah. What's up? I grew up saying?
Yeah. This is the hood. Dr. Oakley, I went there. Central, went over there.
So was Garrison Pub always here then?
No.
What was
this
here?
This has only been here for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years.
Oh, not that long, hey?
No.
So did you have to buy ice cream?
My local bar, our local bar was the Tropicana.
Oh,
you know the Trop. You've been there.
Yeah, I've been there.
Where's that?
I've gotten lost there a handful
it's
of
right
times.
Down the street from Patterson. Oh, yeah.
The letters, they were sick of lighting up all the letters and just called it the Trop.
Yeah. You know how many steps it is to your front door, right?
You know it. 322.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you play your first junior season. Who was that with? Was that the Calgary Canucks? That's Alberta, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't play a ton of games at that start. Well, you played, what, 30-ish or so?
About half.
Yeah.
How did with Mike Craig.
Mike Craig. How'd that feel for you, playing in the city? I mean, you're growing up playing in Calgary. You start playing in Calgary with the Canucks. A lot of people coming to watch you. Or how was your first season in the AJ?
No, it was good. We had decent crowds. We had Steve Simmons, the reporter, was covering us.
No way.
Yeah.
Was Max Bell still around?
Yeah. So I was still midget age, I guess, whatever. Yeah.
What, we can call
17
that.
Or 16, yeah. Whatever. You. 16, yeah. I was, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was playing in the Alberta.
Yeah.
And it went to, what, 21?
Yeah.
So I'm playing with guys who are in university or finished university. Like, it was crazy. And all these older guys, like Neufeld and Randy Shields and all these older guys. And it was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But, no, it was a good experience. I just played 1 year there and then I jumped up with the Wranglers. But yeah. It was a good year. Playoffs was interesting. We were up against Red Deer.
Yeah.
The Sutters, the Molars, and all of that. Yeah. And John Chappie Chapman was the head coach for Red Deer Rustlers. It was, and so we'd be in a series with these guys, and Mike Craig would play. We kind of lost at home, and we'd go on the road, and they'd put me in on the road, and we'd win.
Yeah.
And come back to Calgary. Mike Craig would play, we'd lose. And it went like that. So the final game was back here in Maxville Arena.
So you split in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So Russ Farwell was our coach.
Russ Farwell was the GM for me in Seattle. Yeah. I stayed at his house a couple nights.
Yeah, he's, I don't know about a coach. He's, he might be a better general manager than a coach. But it was funny. So we're going out for pregame, and he goes, I'll tell you guys after warm-up who's playing.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, that's that. Hey, coaches, some of them aren't that bright.
No kidding.
Anyway, so I go out and whatever, and he comes back and Mike Craig's going to play. I'm like, huh, really? Okay. I'm on the bench. My dad comes down. Why don't you go take your gear off? And I said, Dad, I'm not going to do that. It's not fair to the teammates. I can't.
Yeah.
And whatever. And we lose.
Yeah.
John Chappie Chapman says, I'm just glad they didn't play Mike Vernon. Headlines.
That's so good. You still probably have that newspaper clip under your house somewhere.
Of course I do.
Tattooed on his back.
That's awesome. Well, like my first year junior, that was the way it was. We didn't find out till we got to the game, right? Unless I had played, that was my first year though. After about the second or third year, you knew you were playing every game unless the coach said no.
Yeah.
But your first year, it's like, we just want to keep you ready. Just keep you ready to go, right?
Oh, yeah. I love those guys.
Yeah.
Keep you ready.
I want you to treat this like a game day every day, right? It's like, come on, settle down, right? Like, let's go here, right?
Yeah. Perhaps it would keep you in your house the night before.
Be a theory. What are you talking about?
One theory.
Yeah. Isn't that a famous line with Don Cherry? What do you ever regret? Telling the goalie who was playing the night before because the other guy was out partying all night.
I know. Oh, you got a free pass. I never got better rests in my life than when I wasn't playing. You know, like you sit there, you go out for dinner, have a good time. You come back, pregame skates, kind of so-so, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. You get to face some extra shots. You go back, sleep like a baby, come back, and the guy gets pulled 10 minutes into the first period. And you're like, oh, crap. Here we go, right? I mean,
but you're well rested.
But you're well rested.
You have that nap.
Well, you got that guilt though too. It's a powerful motivator. Yeah, exactly. So you jump over to the Wranglers. How was your first season with the Wranglers?
It was good.
Yeah,
I mean, I played a lot.
You were playing at the Corral.
Yeah. I was fortunate. I got traded.
Yeah.
I was with Billings.
Oh.
So they traded me.
Yeah.
So,
what did they give up to get you?
There was 9 players for me.
Settle down.
Simmer down now. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
Like draft choices or players?
Players. So
9.
You can look it up. I know it's crazy.
Like 9 full size players.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, I was still playing for the Canucks.
Yeah.
The stipulation was I couldn't play for the Wranglers in playoffs. They would not allow me to do that. That was in the deal. Because they had Skoro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Skoro was up and down like a... Yeah. He was, whatever.
Yeah.
Skoro wasn't... But they wanted to call me up, but you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so they were going to maybe throw me in some games, but they couldn't do it. So that was the agreement. And then the next year I come to training camp, and it's kind of funny. All the veterans and everybody else and that... you're staying at the pavilion in the bunk beds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, boys are roaming around and stuff's happening and like no one's touching me.
Yeah.
No one's going near me. Everything's fine and nothing that went wrong.
Like
no bad stuff happened. But it was unreal. Doug Sauter says, nothing happens to him. Take care of him.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
All my defensemen were I think the smallest guy I had was Daryl Mulvane, and he was like 6'1". And I had guy Daryl Anholt, 6'3", 240 pounds.
Yeah.
Bruce Robertson, 6'8". I had Smitty. I had all these big guys around me to protect me. So it was good.
Yeah.
We had a decent year. And actually, that was the year we played Saskatoon in the playoffs. They were first and we were eighth, so we played them and we beat them.
7-game series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had Daryl Standley, Mark Habshire, Dave Brown. They had a good team. Like, it was crazy.
Like, Brownie was like tough guy Brownie?
Yeah, tough guy Brownie.
Holy smokes.
But he can play.
Daryl Standley.
Tough guy Daryl Standley, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was nuts. But we just played a good team game and we won it. We beat them. We upset them. And it was kind of.
How many games did I get drafted? But it was your draft year, though?
It was 17. I was just turning in February, the end of February.
Oh, okay.
So then I got drafted.
Okay.
Basically, when I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
That was the first year of the underage draft. That's when they moved it from 19 down to 18.
Okay.
Al McGinnis and I went that year for the Flames.
Yeah. And you went what? What round did you go?
I was second pick to the Flames, but I was in the third round, 56. That's when they only had, 20?
I was going to say, I was asking how many teams. Yeah, no kidding.
But no, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Talk about being drafted, like when you found out.
Oh, wow.
Was it a big production? Like, did they have?
Oh, hell no. I was at school and I'm driving, I have a 3-on-the-tree Ford truck.
Yeah.
A 70.
Yeah.
Greenie. We called it. It was the color of the wall. Anyway, Peter Marr gets on. Calgary is selected in the third round. Local guy, Mike Vernon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit. Honestly, I thought I was going to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because Minnesota, there was a couple teams, and they were always calling me. They did the interview over the phone.
I was going to say, how many teams called you beforehand?
Yeah, I had about four teams.
Yeah.
And I really thought, like, Gump Worsley was with Minnesota. I thought I was going to be going there.
Yeah.
So I ended up not going there.
Hey, did they ever ask you, like, the scouts when they called you? Did they ever ask how tall your parents were and, like, go through the whole...
I don't remember.
Because I remember that, where they'd say, how tall is your dad? How tall is your mom?
Six foot.
Yeah, Vernie. Yeah. My dad's 7'8". My mom's, she's 9'2". I'm growing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so it was... And there was, I believe... That year, I think I was the fifth or sixth goalie picked.
Yeah. Do you remember anybody before you?
Yeah, Graham Fuhr.
Yeah.
Mike Sands, Mario Gosselin.
Oh.
The guy that went to Hartford,
Sidorkiewicz?
Sidorkiewicz.
Peter Sidorkiewicz.
Yeah. Peter Sidorkiewicz.
Yeah.
Like, that's the guys that went before me.
Oh, man. You were playing against Grant, though, too, weren't you, in junior?
Or? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We lost out to Victoria in game 7.
Oh, wow.
We had an afternoon game at the Corral, and we thought there would be no one there. And they weren't going to put it on the radio.
Yeah.
So the place was packed.
Yeah.
And then they put it on the radio because it was sold out anyway, and we lost... we might have won that game. We went back to Victoria for game 7, and Bruno Bassiotto hits a crossbar with about 2 minutes left in the game, and then they came down and scored on a 2-on-1.
Oh, well, do you remember how the series went? Like, did you win the first one, they won the second one?
No. All I know, it went to game 7.
Yeah.
And I lost.
You lost, yeah. No, fair enough.
To Fierzy.
Yeah, yeah.
Bugger.
Did you all play him?
No, he's a hell of a goalie.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's good.
Didn't you go to Portland after that?
So that was the following year.
Okay.
When we got beat out, then Portland picked me up the next 2 years in a row.
I've seen you, and just to get off topic for a quick second, but I've seen you go out and play the puck. I can't remember which team it was, but you're out playing the puck. I put it up on Twitter, and you just got absolutely rocked.
Montreal.
Must have been. And you just got right back up. And you went back in the net. Like, it was hilarious. Like, nowadays, you know, at the yard sale, glove would fly off. The guy would be carried off on a stretcher. But I'm dying.
Well,
like,
no one's going to blow the whistle. Well, the refs aren't back in our day.
No.
Denny Morrell was going to blow it.
Yeah.
It's a game in Montreal, Denny Morrell. Oh, no, I did not see it.
I did not see
him. He sloop footed by Claude Lemieux.
Oh, shocking.
That was
unbelievable. And Green scored the goal. Yeah. And I'm laying there like this, and I'm like, Denny,
Yeah.
Well, we were in Montreal.
Yeah. That's so good.
We knew we weren't going to get any favors there.
Yeah.
Ironic. Danny Morrell was the guy that called that goal back that Gilmore scored.
Scored two, yeah.
In Lethbridge. Or in L.A. That would have forced it into game seven. Seven. Yeah. Which would have been unreal.
Yeah.
Right? So.
How many game sevens have you played in?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. But you played a handful, though, hey?
A few.
Yeah. Yeah. You get nervous for those? Or, I mean, of course you would, probably a little bit, eh? Or it's you. I don't know.
You try to get in that zone and the trends and go, and you just get caught up with it all, I guess. And, you know, you got a job to do, and sometimes it goes well, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, we'll move on to your...
It wasn't for Cooner.
Why? What about him?
Oh, didn't you see that? No. What was that, game six?
That was game six in St. Louis, right? That one?
No, oh, Montreal one? Against...
Oh, Montreal, that. I thought you meant
Strube
game six.
Score. Yeah. Oh, my God.
What happened?
We're at a face-off in overtime. Drop the puck.
Yeah.
They come down on a two-on-one and score. And I'm like, where did Cooner go? Cooner was at the far blue line. McCowan is at the far blue line. And we're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
He took a chance, thought we were going to win the draw forward.
You know.
I thought you were going to talk about when you guys ran into each other in St. Louis in game six.
No, I didn't run into it. No, I put the puck behind the net, and him and, was it McGinnis or someone, ran into each other behind the net, and they put the puck out in front and scored. And I'm like, what are you donkeys doing? I just stopped the puck. You guys were right there.
Yeah. But, so was that a game-winning goal?
That was a game-winning goal. Yeah. That was game six.
That forced it into overtime, and then they won.
Oh, yeah. That did. Yeah. You're right. Forced, and then we had to come back to Calgary, seven. And we beat them in Calgary. Yeah. Right? That was unbelievable. Yeah. You know, Glenn Hall always used to say, never trust your defenseman.
No.
Always said that to me.
Yeah. You know it too, right? You just know some guys. When they have the puck, you just know it's like, oh, here we go, right? Like, you're just on. Was there anybody in your career that you could pick out that was like, oh, he's got the puck, I better be ready to go?
I used to say it to Paul Baxter. I said, Baxi, whenever you got the puck, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Turnover central, sure. Or what? Yeah.
Oh,
we were all saying it.
Yeah. Throwing out saucers on the wrong guy's tape.
Yeah. Backhand pies up the middle.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Doc, you know what? I've always wanted to ask you too. You looked at your hockey DB, it's extensive, but you got a glaring number in there one season. I think your goals against average is like 21.
That was 4 minutes.
I know. Well, the only reason why I ask is because I played one period and my goals against is 9 and my save percentage is .667, right? I can't live that down ever. People come up to me, yeah, 9 goals against. Hey, that's you, right?
Yeah.
Talk about your first year in the
pro. That was my first year pro.
Yeah.
I got called up and I'm on the bench. We're playing Edmonton. Don Edwards is in that. Reggie's hurt or something. I don't know. Anyway, we...
Reggie Lemelin, right?
Yeah.
He had a cold.
And then he... It was in the second period, and Edmonton are winning.
Yeah.
And now they have a 5-on-3.
Yeah.
And then Badger decides to throw me in net and take Don Edwards out. I think, you know, and then I go in there, and this power play is like, bang in the net. And they couldn't find Don Edwards. I think he was in the parking lot. He's trying to get out of there. He's trying to get a hell out of Dodge.
Yeah.
So that was my introduction. Well, that was my introduction to the NHL, like pro. But I played a few games pro when I was with the... when I was 19 with the Wranglers. Yep. I played against the Red Wings and the Montreal Canadiens.
What was it like for your first pro game?
That wasn't that great either. It was in Detroit. Cliff calls me up. You're coming on the road trip.
Cliff Fletcher, right?
Yeah. So, sorry.
No.
Anyway, so I'm like, what the heck am I doing here? Like, what's going on? So, anyway, we jump on the plane. We go to Detroit, and I play, and Johnny Ogranek scores two, top shelf, both of them. And then they pulled me, and that was that. And then we come back a couple games later, and we're playing Montreal in at the Corral.
Yeah.
And it's like, Vernon, you're playing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So we're playing, and it's, you know, it wasn't going too bad, but Steve Shutt scored. Rick Walmsley was at the other end of the ice.
Which is unbelievable. Yeah.
Right. And Big Bird was there and all those. The Canadians still had a good team in that. But we lost, I think it was 5-3. Yep. And then I, after that, I jumped on a plane and went to Toronto to go play for the junior team.
Oh.
And from there, then we went to, it was in Russia.
Yeah. Like World Juniors.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's just the beginning of our chat with Mike Vernon here as we continue along in the Cumming and Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles. More with Mike Vernon in just a few minutes. Thanks for being with us. And hey, on this program, we're going to have some really cool features as well. And one of them is Flames Trivia. It's brought to you by OSY Rentals. Make the best use of your oil field production budget. OSY's Vapor Tight Package comes with everything required downstream of the wellhead. Call 1-855-OSY-TANK. And so our trivia question, of course, is going to be Mike Vernon focused because Mike's first full NHL season was in 1986-87. Of course, he began his full-time NHL career the prior year when he came in partway through the 85-86 season and, of course, was a big part of Calgary's first trip to the Stanley Cup Final. But it was the following year that he started and finished the season in the NHL with the Flames, 1986-87. So that year, Mike Vernon played 55 games and was part of a tandem with this Flames goaltending legend who just happened to be in his final season with the team. So who was Mike Vernon's tandem mate? Who was Mike Vernon's 1B during his first season with the Flames, first full season with the Flames, 86-87, and just happened to be this goaltender's final season with the Flames? He happens to be one of the Flames goaltending legends as well. I'll give you 3 or 4 seconds to think of the answer, and then we'll give it to you here. And I think that's probably enough time. The answer is Reggie Lemelin, who played parts of 9 seasons with the Atlanta and Calgary Flames, started with the Atlanta Flames, and then was one of the first members of the Calgary Flames when they made the move north. Yes, Mike Vernon's first full NHL season was Reggie Lemelin's last season as a member of the Flames. He'd go on to Boston after that. Lemelin's 323 games is fourth all-time, and so is his 144 wins with the team. Okay, that is Flames Trivia, brought to you by OSY Rentals. My name is Pat Steinberg, and we are underway on the Cumming and Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles, brought to you by Cumming and Gillespie LLP, personal injury and medical practice lawyers committed to getting maximum compensation for the injured and their families. Visit CummingGillespie.com. More with Mike Vernon, Brent Cron, and Colin Patterson as we continue. All right, this is the first episode of the Cumming and Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles. Thanks for being with us, and today's featured guest is Hockey Hall of Famer and 2-time Stanley Cup champion, Mike Vernon. My name is Pat Steinberg. We'll get you back to the conversation with Mike, Brent Cron, and Colin Patterson here momentarily. But let us tell you, this program is for Cumming and Gillespie LLP, personal injury and medical practice lawyers committed to getting maximum compensation for the injured and their families. Visit CummingGillespie.com. And back to the chat in just moments. But before we do that, it's time for another feature here on the program. It's called Where Are They Now? Brought to you by Pure Chem Services. And today, we're focusing in on the Eliminator. What is happening with Marty Jelena in 2025? Well, we know what happened when Marty was a member of the Flames, which, by the way, he only played 2 seasons with the Flames. How about the legend that he developed for himself in a short period of time playing with the team? 157 games as a member of the Flames, and then that legendary run in the 2004 playoffs where he scored 3 game-winning or series-winning goals. Now, he's an assistant coach coach with the Calgary Wranglers for the time being, with the coaching staff with the Wranglers and Flames a little in flux for the last number of years, and this will still be the case going forward. He's part of the Flames player development team, along with Ray Edwards, who oversees everything, Michael Stone and Rebecca Johnston, and a whole lot more. They've got an incredible development group with this Flames group, and that's what Marty Zelina has been doing the last number of years. He's also spent time as an NHL assistant with the Flames. He has built quite the post-hockey career as a member of the Flames organization, and that is Where Are They Now? Focusing on Martin Zelina on this episode. It's brought to you by Pure Chem Services, the expertise to realize higher production and lower costs. Let's get back to the conversation now. Mike Vernon with Brent Cron and Colin Patterson. We're going back to 1982-83 in St. Petersburg, Russia. Then it was still called Leningrad, as Mike was suiting up for Team Canada at that year's World Junior Hockey Championships.
How was that experience?
Yeah, that was crazy.
In Russia you were? Where were you in Russia?
It was, of all, we went to Finland.
Yeah.
Dave King took us to Finland for like 4 days of a camp.
Who was you and who was the other goalie for the World Junior team?
I think it was Mike Sands and Mario Goslin.
Okay, yeah.
So we go over there for a camp for a few days and in the middle of nowhere, and then we train into Russia, and it was in Leningrad.
Yeah.
And they steal our gear.
What do you mean steal your gear?
They took our gear. They wouldn't give it to us for a couple of days.
Yeah, really?
So we couldn't practice. Well, we lost it. It was a gong show. The food was terrible. It was full-on communism back then.
Yeah.
At Christmas time, where it's supposed to be a jolly time.
Yeah, a joyous time here. Yeah.
So anyway, we go and play, and they're playing Mike Sands or whatever. And you know, the next game's supposed to be me. And we're playing Russia, and I'm like, I'm getting psyched up to play Russia. And Dave King puts, I don't know, Goslin in or somebody else in. And I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
And they score a bunch of goals on him, and then they put me in. And, I mean, my head wasn't in it really, so that was the end of it.
Yeah.
But, Iserman on the team, Mary Lemieux, Sylvain Turgeon, Paul Sear, Mark Morrison, Garth
That's
Butcher.
Good team, yeah.
Anybody smoking at that time too while they were playing in junior or no?
I didn't see any. Yeah, I didn't see any. But I'll tell you a good story. We from where the restaurant was, there's a little liquor store, and so we used to go in there and grab Carlsberg beer in blue cans.
Yeah.
We have no refrigeration. Open the window up on the ledge. Yeah. Put them out before we go down and jump on the bus. Yeah. We're just sitting, standing out by the bus, and we kind of look up at the hotel and go, geez, the seventh floor's got blue cans right across it.
That's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. How did you guys finish the tournament?
I think we got a bronze.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who'd you play? Remember?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Russia, Czechs, Finns.
Who did you play for the bronze?
I don't know.
Don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I didn't know you played World Juniors. That's awesome.
Well, it wasn't really known then because
it
was.
Yeah. It wasn't a big thing.
It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't televised.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. It was crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy. Talk about your first season with the Flames. Anything out of the ordinary there that you come in with the Calgary Flames? What year was it?
Well, there's a lot of things. My first training camp.
I know, but
it starts there.
Yeah, well, yeah, 1982 was your first year, wasn't it? Was 1982 your first year with the Calgary Flames?
No.
No? What year was that?
86 was 85. My first year.
Oh,
first,
because you got called up.
In 84, I played 17 games.
Right, yeah.
On all playoff games, but I wasn't considered a rookie.
Right.
Yeah. The next year, I was considered a rookie. Even though I played all playoff games.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
And it didn't matter.
Count.
They didn't count playoff games.
Yeah.
But Patrick Waugh, when I played against, we were both rookies. Oh. Well, he was a rookie and I, yeah.
Because Patty Waugh won the Stanley Cup his rookie year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. How was your rookie dinner that year?
It was good because I don't think I was there for it.
We didn't have it back then.
You know, I think they did, and I missed it in Chicago.
I don't know, tell me.
I wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
He used to do skits, I think.
Yeah. We used to go out, we used to have fun, and then we come back and they do skits.
Yeah, for sure.
It was good.
Yeah. No $9.99 steaks, though?
No, nothing, no meal. I don't think so. I wasn't there, like I said. I missed it.
Yeah. What was it like playing for Badger Bob?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Why? It's the first positive coach I ever had in my life.
What do you mean?
Never said a bad word about anything or anybody.
Like just a goalie or the player?
Everybody, really.
He always
saw the positive thing in everything.
Really?
Didn't matter what was happening.
Yeah. When you think you're down, he'd pick you right up.
Really?
He'd make you feel good about yourself. Like, we lost, what, 9-1?
He
scored the one goal.
Yeah. He's like,
he goes, how about the goal McDonald scored? Yeah. We got to build on that. Yeah.
Like, what a great goal. But he was like that. He was a great guy. Like, man.
He was a methodical thinker.
Yep.
Everybody talks about AI nowadays, about analytics and everything else.
Yeah.
And I remember we're going to play the Edmonton Oilers, and he goes and breaks down the video. And he comes to us, he says, guys, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to play left wing lock. Patter was a left winger, so he pulls back like a defenseman almost.
Yeah.
And then we get Gilmore and everybody to push Coffey, because Coffey went in the left side of Grant and out the right side most of the time. And he'd always... 95% of the time come in on the left side of me. So we want to plug that up.
Yep.
And that was Badger's theory.
Yep. Yeah.
And Vernie, if they dump it in, you fire it up the goddamn boards. And guys, if Coffey's in his own end, put him up against boards. Go 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. Just a couple seconds just to delay him. Because he was so fast he could get back into the play.
Right.
So Badger, he orchestrated that whole thing, right?
The left wing lock plus, you know, matching lines.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, even when we were playing in Edmonton, we'd match lines. So, you know, guys would be out there, but they'd change.
Yep.
You know, making sure they're changing properly. But Badger was, you know, analytics to the nth degree before analytics really came into it. You know,
exactly.
We were always doing our own analytics, you know. Yeah. He'd study the power play. I always go, you know, we knew Boston's power play better than Boston did, right? It was, he was just study crazy. Everybody's.
It was interesting. And before that series, we're all having dinner together. And he goes, when you guys are done, you guys follow me. So we all get up, follow him. Goes around the block. He rents out the movie theater. Rocky was playing.
Yeah.
And it was all his message was, you're the underdog, boys.
Yep.
And there it is. That was our motivation. And we're all coming out of there. Like, we're Rocky. We're going to do this, right?
It's just...
affect your mind.
Yeah.
Like it just make you feel like a believer.
No kidding.
He was unbelievable. I remember he brought that guy because, you know, Grant Fuhr caught with his right hand. Not many goalies did. And, you know, I'd always had trouble scoring against Grant Fuhr. Not myself personally, but a lot of other guys.
You were a real sniper.
Yeah. But he brought a guy in for practice that caught with his right hand.
Yep.
This poor guy, he wasn't a great goalie.
Put an Edmonton jersey on.
This poor guy got shellacked.
Yep.
You know, if we weren't hitting the net, we were hitting him right in the freaking throat or the head. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
But it was Badger's idea, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He had so many neat ideas. He had this one drill. Remember the Joker's Wild? Where we had penalty killing power play, and you'd switch one guy back and forth, and you'd go for 2 minutes. And it was a really neat drill, but he was a guy who figured out power play penalty killing was the key to winning.
So he used to do this thing called fancy capers.
Okay, what's that?
Everybody gets in a circle.
Yeah.
At the end of practice,
center ice, and then he'll call your name, and you got to go do something that is fancy. Like you got to do something. Just be creative as you can with the puck, without the puck. Do it.
Like a crossover?
That wasn't quite creative enough.
But it's like do a cartwheel.
Yeah.
Kent Nielsen would get the puck and bounce it around. Mm. And shoot it and hit the crossbar from center eye or something like that. I don't know what you did.
Well, I didn't do a whole lot. It was pretty interesting. But I used to, they talk about the Michigan now. I used to be able to pick the puck up and, you know, twirl it like a lacrosse stick.
Yeah.
But I can only do it at the start of practice. At the end of practice, it was like, no go. I was freaking exhausted. But he'd go to me, go, Patterson, you do that. Do that lacrosse thing. I go, can't do it.
Do that thing you do. Yeah. What was yours?
I tried to do a cartwheel maybe, but he wouldn't really pick on me too much. So, but he just get guys thinking.
Yeah.
Like you can be creative.
Yeah.
Okay. So next, like it would get in your head, like, well, I got to come up with something fancy. Yeah. Right? I'd try to work on, you guys would try to work on something.
Like
stop, it's just a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Stop and Lanny shot with your eyes closed. That's
easy.
Yeah.
Low block.
Low block. Yeah.
High glove.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Just keep it going back again.
And keep your legs closed. Yeah. Stop them every time.
Surprisingly, never asked Lanny to do it. Oh yeah. Lanny, do a fancy caper. Oh yeah.
Fancy caper.
Well, yeah. It was great. Who twirled on their head?
Thank you.
They had a round house.
Mike Eaves,
that's right.
Twirled on his head.
Yeah, he went up and he spun around. It was like Cirque
like du Soleil. Like a stripper.
Yeah.
Like a
peeler.
That
yeah, a peeler.
Oh, we can say that.
That's awesome. Oh, that's so. So you said Badger was like a very positive, but did he ever give anybody crap? Did he ever come in maybe one time? Like,
yeah. Not too often.
Not too often.
But he wouldn't really raise his voice.
No. He was very, he was so consistent and he just loved the game.
He wasn't mad. He was just disappointed. I'm not mad at you, Patter. I'm just disappointed.
But he'd come and try to talk to you about, you got to either work harder or you got to try this or he'd have an answer for you.
Yeah.
And he cared.
He did. And
he cared a lot. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
And
But that was his downfall, I think.
Yeah.
It was because coming out of college, those guys used to practice for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And in the NHL, you're playing 80 games, 82 games. Yeah. And guys were like, we can't stay out here this long. And that was wearing on the players because, we got to play. And he just liked to practice with the guys.
Yeah.
And just be out there working on power play, working on different things.
Yeah.
Face off. It doesn't matter.
You loved it so much. You just want to stay out there forever.
You're still on the ice, right? Yeah. And guys are like, we got to get off. Time out, Badger. We got to slow it down.
Yeah. I think it was Lanny who went in and talked to him and said, you got to just take it back a bit.
Yeah.
But he'd get lost in the practice, right?
Yeah.
We'd be in morning skate and he'd go, we got to practice this. Yeah. And he'd just get lost in it, right? And then go, okay, we've been over for an hour and a half. We had a game tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and so you could talk to him too and he would be receptive. Like you'd say, hey, Badger, can I talk to you for a second? That type of thing? Because some guys don't want to be spoken to either, right?
I didn't, but, Lanny, do you want to talk Lanny to Badger? Talk to
him. We always said Lanny. Lanny would just go, that's why he was the best captain.
Absolutely.
He would take control of things in the dressing room and talk with the management and do all that stuff, right? So,
and it was always about the team for Lanny.
Yeah.
No, it's always about the team.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, leadership from you guys had a lot of leaders, throughout your career. Stanley Cup year, obviously, but Lanny, can't say enough about him. I mean, he's been pretty consistent throughout his whole career, too, of just being that team guy, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's still like that.
Yeah.
Look at what he does in the community.
I know.
And across the country. It's unbelievable. I don't know how he does it.
I don't know how he does it either. And he's always smiling.
Yeah.
Was he born with a mustache, or did he?
I've known him as a mustache, but I guess, I don't know, years ago we got a puck or a stick.
Yeah.
And then he grew it, and they never took it off.
I'm going to have to ask him here.
You'd have to. I'm
not going to say anything. I am not saying anything.
Nope. Yeah,
are we talking about the soup?
No.
Okay, let's go on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on.
Yeah, move on. Move on. Sounds good. You guys are awesome. I love it. Stanley Cup year, start of that season, you guys were favorites, weren't you?
No, I don't think so.
Well, we're up
in the top probably three or four.
Yeah,
but we won the President's Cup the year before.
So
I guess we were kind of favorites in the West or up there with Edmonton's always there.
Yeah,
right. So
you guys lost in the playoffs the year prior, that year, like the President's Cup year. Was it Edmonton that you guys lost the first round?
I think we lost to Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Was it in the first round or is it the...
I thought it was the first round, but that, you know what? It was just sort of a rude awakening. We thought,
Jamie got the spleen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You mean he got hit or he just had some issues or what?
He got hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I think we looked too far ahead. We were looking at Edmonton instead of looking at Winnipeg. And Winnipeg had a really good team.
Yeah.
Now you got to remember, they had a really good team for a long time. Just, you know, they're either, you know, just behind us or just behind Edmonton. Yeah. Right.
Was Crispy coaching that year too, or was that?
Yes, he was.
He was there. Yeah. Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah, he was there.
Because Badger Bob, he was done in
sort of 86.
Before we won the cup.
Yeah, for sure. I was just kind of thinking, because you guys won the cup, obviously, with Terry Crisp, I wasn't sure how long he was there before you guys had won. It was a year for sure, maybe two, right?
I think he was a year before, and then maybe a year or two after.
Yeah. What was
that? We are old.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that change like from Badger to Crispy?
Oh, man.
Did he love goalies?
I'll put it to you this way.
Yeah.
Crispy cared, but he was very vocal.
Yeah.
He couldn't hold things in, and he will always express himself. It didn't matter if you're carrying the puck or if I'm in net or whatever's going on. He was always yelling at you. And I think it got to a point where guys were just shut up and open the gate. Yeah. And you got a good team here, just open the gate and shut the f*** up type thing. But he couldn't control himself.
Yeah.
He was just that exuberant type of guy.
Yeah.
Emotional. And that's the way he is.
And he's a great guy.
Yeah.
A great guy.
So he comes that's by it why honestly, only, right?
Yeah.
I think that's why he only lasted 2 years, wasn't it?
Or 3 years.
Three years. Or something like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Just, yeah. That's so the start of that season, you guys had...
Look at me.
Yeah. You guys had something to prove the next year, right? Yeah. I mean, after the President's Trophy season, losing the first round, coming into that following season, the Stanley Cup year, I don't know if you can read it, Vernie. That's pretty small, right? And I couldn't print it any bigger than that.
Really? Yeah, and you know what? I mean, we made a trade. We got Doug Gilmore and I think Mark Hunter.
Yeah.
We traded Craig Cox and Mike Bullard.
Yeah.
To St. Louis. Yeah. And that was, you know, that was
when did Walmer big come plus. In?
He came in like 87, 80.
So that was the savior for me.
Yeah.
Why?
And he was huge
Why?
For
because,
you.
Why? Because, like, I had Doug Dadwell.
Yeah.
Well, I get a day off and I'm sitting there and
7-0.
It's like, Vernon, get in. I'm like, I'm just sitting there. This is my day off. Like, no. Yeah, no. And the guys are, Vernon, Chris said, get in the net. I'm looking. I'm like, God, come on. You guys. Yeah. So it was good because when Walmer got in here, Walmer came and he played great. And I got my games knocked down to 55 or 50.
Yeah, I felt great.
In there. So I was a lot fresher.
Yeah.
Right? But Walmer would push me too because he played well.
Yeah.
And he was a positive guy.
Yeah.
He knew his role, but he was great with me.
Yeah.
And he's probably one of the funnest guys in the dressing room.
He
like
was.
He's a great, funny guy. Great sense of humor.
Yeah.
A lot like you. Can talk a lot.
Yeah. Doesn't say anything. Talks a lot.
No. Yeah. Talks a lot, but he's got some good zingers.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. You know, and after his first couple of donuts, he'd always say that game of golf is a game of inches. But he did push you to be better, Vernie.
Oh, it was awesome.
And you guys had a great relationship and, you know, he was Gump was a great guy in the dressing room.
Yeah,
just a great person and
lots
of fun.
Why did you call him Gump?
After,
you know, Gump Worsley.
Yeah, I will. Absolutely.
Yeah, but and so Wamsley Worsley.
Yeah,
and
he was a little heavier.
Little lumpy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, speaking of lumpy,
I said a little,
just a little.
Yeah. Speaking of lumpy, what was fitness testing like? Do you guys have that?
We did.
Yeah.
Like in like 1989 when you won the Stanley. You guys
no,
said,
oh, like,
let's
my
go
first
back to
year training camp. Was the first when I was 18 years old, they gave us Pierre Paget got a book about this big.
Oh dear.
And I followed it like to a T. Like I ran, I worked out, I did everything.
Yeah, but you were in good shape anyway. You were
fine. I was only 160 pounds or something.
Yeah.
So you know, that's easy.
Yeah.
So I go to training camp my first and we're going on a 5 mile run. We're at Max Bell Arena, and I'm standing there, and Brad Marsh comes up. Hey, Bernie, how you doing? Good, Brad. How are you? And I look down. He's got Kodiak work boots on. I go, you don't own a pair of runners? Never owned a pair of runners in my life. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Pat Kodiak. Riggins walking around in a towel with a big bowl of Jell-O. And it's like, this is the NHL. I'm looking around. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So that was like, yeah, it was an extra. Like even Al McGinnis.
Yeah.
Was a 16% body fat.
Yeah.
Okay. Like yeah. He was, we call him Winchell, didn't we? Yeah. Down in, we, oh, shit, is he going to be mad at me?
We just call him Winchell anyway.
Down because when we were down in Denver,
yeah.
They had Winchell donuts. So then, well, even Gary Roberts was 16% body fat.
Oh, man.
But to credit of those two guys in the Calgary Flame organization, they focused on fitness and training and being, and both of them had long careers.
Yeah.
And they're the fittest guys. And still to the Gary Roberts runs machine. A fitness thing for the NHL guys. Al McGinnis still works out.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing he's lost is some hair.
You don't. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a personal shot.
Yeah, exactly.
With all his money, you think he'd go over to Turkey and get a sprinkler.
Yeah. I'll see him on the flight.
You know, Joe Nieuwendyk, when he was a GM in Dallas, he hired Gary Roberts to be like a fitness guy to come in. So I remember being in Texas or in Austin, the American League, and Gary walk in. Everybody knows who Gary Roberts is, right? And we're all sitting there, and Gary's like, oh, we're dead. Like, you know, like, this is my eighth year in the American League. I'm like, what am I doing, right? Like, am I going to start taking it seriously now at 27, really, right? But anyway, he comes in. I love my crunchy peanut butter with a little bit of honey drizzled over toast, right, and a cup of coffee with cream. And just delicious. I got there early. I got the best pieces. I toasted it to perfection. Had a great time. Gary walks in, grabs the Skippy peanut butter, whatever. He goes, this will give you cancer. And he threw it in the garbage. And and I just reached in. I'm like, it's all I have left, Gary. Just like taking the duct, you know, taking the sock tape off and the chew spit off the peanut butter. I'm just like, just let it be, put it right over here. Like, I need that. I need that chunky peanut butter to get me through the next couple weeks here.
It was Kraft. It wasn't real.
Yeah. It wasn't real. Yeah. It wasn't
almond butter. Organic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so good. So
I had to room with him.
Gary?
Yeah.
After.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
After the big honest trade. Honest to God,
I played with a cold the whole year. And then at the end of the year, we go down to Arizona on a golf trip. And we're golfing, the AC's on, and he has an asthma attack. We take him to the hospital. And look, I've been telling him for years, AC's not good for you. Bacteria, right?
Yeah.
Well, the doctor finally goes, AC's not good for you, buddy. Bacteria. And then he comes back. He goes, Vernie, you were right. And I played for 5 years with a cold the whole time.
Yeah. Your runny nose, sniffles, cough, body aches. God.
He used to take a ice bath.
Yeah.
Okay. He goes, Vernie, there's still not enough. Can you go get me some more ice? Go get him. It's not cold enough. So I go get him more ice. And then I'd say, yeah, when you're done, put the beer in after.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't like the old days with batter. Bernie, let me get some ice for your beer. Yeah,
that's so good. Oh. Who was one of your best roomies or a couple of them? Or did you have roommates? Because you're a goalie.
Hey, the best roomie is when I had my own room.
I know. Oh, it
was,
man.
And I never – no, Patter was
that
awesome.
Wasn't good for you, though. Yeah. That was not
no,
good for you.
No, it was good for you. It was very good. It extended my career. But Patter was a great roomie. Rob's was obviously a great roomie.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, when I went to Detroit, they gave me my own room because that was their thing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was heaven because sleep. And if you have a roommate that doesn't like to sleep,
yep.
Like I'll sleep 2 to 3 hours in an afternoon.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing for me.
Yeah.
Now it was, I loved it. I absolutely thrived on it.
Who let you into the room at night?
I had a key.
Vernie and I, when we roomed together, we'd always get the suite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet football.
Sweet football. Yeah, really.
Hey, what curfew? Did you guys, what was curfew? What time was curfew?
Badger was good. He didn't check.
Yeah.
Crispy was pretty good. Didn't really, unless.
Well,
somebody was laying out on a lawn chair walking by the pool.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
Get in L.A. And then we'd have a room check. And,
Well, they come knock on your door, they call your room, or what do they do?
They come around, Tom Watt would come around and knock on the door.
Or Doug Reiser.
Or Reiser, yeah.
That? I don't know.
So, because
of, didn't you play with Reiser, though?
Like, we did,
yeah. You were teammates, and he's coming around checking on you. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, is what it
Vernie
is.
Will answer that.
Nope.
Okay, no answer. Yeah, so Tom Watt was even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like when Tommy's he, easy going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy, yeah. Just, oh, Tommy yeah. would come to the door and knock on it. And if, let's say, your roommate, not mine in particular, wasn't there, you'd say, oh, he's in the washroom.
Oh, yeah, that's a good line. Yeah, he used to get line. The knock on.
Good line.
Kelly Kissio would come by when he's the GM of the, yeah. the Hitman, and we'd be on the road, knock on the door. Hey, where's Buddy? Oh, he's just in the bathroom. He'll be out in a second. Right. You just try to sneak that one by, and you can't bullshit a bullshit either. Oh, right?
No.
Yeah, right. It never works.
No.
Yeah. Well, I want to see.
Yeah. And I said, you know, then that was the thing. You go to Tom. Well, do you want to come in and see him?
Yeah.
And like, well, no. Yeah. As soon as you make that offer, it's like, no, I won't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good.
Are we gonna tell the story?
What's that?
We gonna tell the story or not story?
Do you want me to?
Well, you can. I mean, the one about you in L.A. up on the. Like about six floors up? That one?
No, I was on the main level. That one?
No, you came down the outside of the balconies.
Oh, I scaled down?
Yeah,
or
scaled down.
Up?
No, you scaled down on this one.
James Bond. Yeah.
Oh, I was in another room and I had to scale down. So, and I couldn't walk the halls. I had to scale down to get into the room off the patio. And then I was in
six,
my room.
Six floors up?
Maybe. There's a palm tree there,
yeah,
too.
So at least three, right?
Because Tommy Watt comes, he goes, where's Vernie? I go, well, he's in the washroom. You know, Tommy, want to come and see him? Much like we said, you know, no. So I get on the horn, I go, Vernie, you got to come down here because Tommy's, you know, he's man in the halls.
He's coming back in 10.
Yeah. So about 6 minutes later, I hear this knock on her, you know, on the sliding door.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I'm not going to answer that. Patter, it's me, Vernie. I opened it, you know, because it had all the, I don't know, it was like a rough outing of the
stucco. Oh, God.
And Vernie's all, he's got a rash on it.
It's not a good scene.
No,
it's great. It doesn't go well with the sunburn I had, too.
No. But you know what? That's what roomies do. They take care of each other, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Covered for each other. Yeah.
Let's talk about the jersey retirement. When did you find out about that, and how did it happen?
Wow, that was a long time ago. Holy shite. I don't know. I don't know. Lanny called me. Someone called me. Someone from the organization called and just said, we're going to retire your jersey, and we're going to have it at this night. And I had nothing to do with it. The Flames had it all planned out and did it all. They just said, you do a speech, your family's coming out, and that's all you know.
Yeah.
I had no idea anything else. And, you know, I thought the Flames, it was awesome. It was a really good time.
Yeah.
And it was, I thought the Flames did a hell of a job. And it was class act. And, my kids were kind of young. I think my youngest boy was only like four. But we have it on video and everything else like that. But it was a great time. And then a lot of my friends and family were there. And then after, the Flames had a nice thing kind of before or during the game or before the game. And then I had a shocker, another party.
Yeah. That was a great party, too, by the way.
At the Mercury.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Yeah.
And, we had a party there after, and we had some speeches. And a couple of my buddies went up there and said a few words. And it was, oh, my God, it was so funny. They handed out everybody a popsicle stick with my face on it.
Yeah.
And they had Mike-isms or something in behind, like is a 10-pound Robin heavy and stuff like that. And so at one point, they all put it up on their faces and over their face and things like that. It was pretty fun.
Well, that was pretty fun, hey? That is the first episode of our program, and that is the conversation with Mike Vernon. Of course, we've got plenty more to come. There's more with Mike Vernon down the road. We've got Theo Fleury and Dana Merzen and Lanny McDonald all in the hopper. over and a whole lot more still to come. And got to give a tip of the hat to both Brent Cron and to Colin Patterson. Croner for driving the bus and done an unbelievable job. And Patter chiming in with only the little nuggets of information that Colin would know. So great stuff from everyone involved. My name is Pat Steinberg. As we start to wrap things up, and the Cumming & Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles is brought to you by Cumming & Gillespie LLP, personal injury and medical practice lawyers committed to getting maximum compensation for the injured and their families. Visit CummingGillespie.com. We'll talk to you on the next episode. Thanks for hanging out.